From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, it's time for Eastern Standard. I'm Joanice Franklin, filling in for John Hingsbergen. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, recognized nationally by President Obama and proclaimed statewide by Governor Steve Beshear. According to the online Domestic Violence Resource Center, one in four women has experienced intimate partner violence in her lifetime. In a recent 12-month period, at least 25 Kentucky women died at the hands of male intimate partners. We're interested in your questions, your comments, or personal stories on our topic. How has domestic violence affected your life? How do we deal with domestic violence in our own communities? How do you feel about Kentucky's domestic violence laws? Are they enough? Do we need tougher legislation? Joining our discussion today is the First Lady of Kentucky, Jane Beshear. For the past 5 years, Mrs. Beshear has helped domestic violence advocates sponsor Shop and Share Day, a one-day drive to gather goods and necessities for domestic violence shelters across Kentucky. Since 2008, the drive has raised more than $2 million in goods and monetary donations. Mrs. Beshear is with us by phone from Frankfort. Mrs. Beshear, thank you for joining us on Eastern Standard.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. This is a very important subject, so I'm glad that we'll be talking about it today.
With me in the studio is Darlene Thomas. Darlene is the president of the Kentucky Domestic Violence Association, or KDVA, as you may hear us refer to it, and executive director of Greenhouse 17, the domestic violence program serving 17 counties in central Kentucky. Darlene, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Darlene, we're going to start with you. When we talk about, as we get this discussion started, when we talk about domestic violence and intimate partner violence, what do those phrases mean, and are they the same thing?
Well, I think they're often used interchangeably. We refer to both domestic violence or intimate partner violence. Personally, I kind of lean towards intimate partner violence language because it's more inclusive. It includes those dating partners, people who've not lived together or have children in common. And often I think when we say the word domestic, there's an assumption that they're married and in the same household.
Sure. What do the stats look like for Kentucky? Do you know how they compare to the rest of the U.S., rates of domestic violence?
Well, right now, the statistics are showing us that one in three in Kentucky, where there's one in four nationally. So we're a little higher than the national average.
That's interesting. I would wonder what the reasons are. Not that you would necessarily know the answer to that, but that is very interesting. First Lady Jane Beshear, you've been involved with efforts to end violence against women in Kentucky for years now. Why this issue?
Well, yeah, I think when those statistics of one in three is just daunting, and I think that realizing that, you know, if you put a group of people together and you count off, and you realize how prevalent this is. The KDVA brought to me when Steve was first elected the concern and the need of money, and showed me videos of some of the clients that had been in the shelters and their stories, and it was just heart-wrenching. And I do think all of us know somebody that has experienced this. You know, it's just the frightening thing is, in thinking about this interview today, last night on the news, there was a story about a man in Garrett County who threatened his wife and children, and they had to lock down the schools. I mean, this is Garrett County in Kentucky. There was another story of a young couple, graduates of high school, and this was not in Kentucky, but it could be, who stabbed his girlfriend 32 times because she wanted to break up with him so she could go to college. Hmm. You know, there's no stereotype of the individual. It seems that it's in the news every day, and it's just something that we just have to stop.
Tell us, First Lady Jane Beshear, about Shop and Share.
Well, when I mentioned the fact that organization had come to... Well, they'd actually come to the governor, and that was when we had just started the recession, and it was our first budget session, and there was just no money, period. There was no money for anything, and the shelters had just been flatlined for about 10 years at that stage, and I was so concerned after listening to them and, realizing that the need of help, that it was just kind of a thinking out of the box idea. Actually, Kroger, who is our partner in this endeavor, was running a promotion of 2-for-1, and I thought, well, maybe we can just latch on to that, and if people go to the store to shop, that they, if they buy one thing for themselves, they could give away the second one that's free. That's kind of how it got started, but it has been so successful. We have drug court volunteers with us, the Women's Club of Kentucky volunteers with us, Girl Scouts work with us, and university students work with us. And so it's not just the idea of collecting the goods for the shelters, which I feel like has been very beneficial to them, but it's also creates an awareness to all the clients that come in the stores. Food City in Eastern Kentucky has joined with us now, but for all of those that come to shop, for all of those that volunteer, whether they're young or old or have had problems or don't have problems, and we have some of the folks that have been through the shelters that come in and help us too.
We're speaking with First Lady of Kentucky, Jane Beshear, and Darlene Thomas. She's the president of Kentucky Domestic Violence Association and the executive director of Greenhouse 17. Our topic is domestic violence in Kentucky. We're inviting you to write to us, send your comments, maybe your stories by email at wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. You can also post a comment on the WEKU Facebook page or tweet us at WEKUEST. In a little while, we're going to open the phones as well. Darlene, we'll go back to you. What laws, maybe not in grand detail, but if you can give us an idea, I know there's a dating violence law. We're going to talk more about that later on in the hour with the co-sponsor of that bill. But what laws are on the books in Kentucky right now that, that help with domestic violence issues?
Well, I think Kentucky has been a leader in this nation for many, many years, looking at how progressive it's been. We were one of the first states to do interstate enforcement of protective orders. When you look around the nation, almost all protective orders look just like Kentucky's. So our protective order system is really excellent. We've made it accessible, and it's 24/7. Our legislators have really gone above and beyond looking at we have a representative now that's looking at how we can encourage landlords to allow people to move should they need another safe place to be, like leave their apartment without being penalized in any way. Kentucky's just been phenomenal overall.
Do you feel like a dating violence law would really help in the state of Kentucky?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, that's something we've been had on our agenda for quite a long time through the state association, and have wonderful partners in our legislature and from our governor's office. And we're very fortunate that hopefully we'll get that passed this year. Dating violence is important because there's a whole group of individuals that may not be living together or have a child in common.
Sure.
Or have been married, that find themselves. Domestic violence doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter whether or not you're living together. It's a pattern of behavior that too many, far too many of our young people experience, and sometimes older victims who may be older in age and find themselves in dating situations that aren't living together, that need the same kind of protection. We really need equal protection under the law.
We're talking about domestic violence on Eastern Standard. I did read a statistic in my research. Nearly 1 in 5 teenage girls who have been in a relationship said a boyfriend threatened violence or self-harm if presented with a breakup, which I think is just alarming. 1 in 5 teenage girls, you know, to be at that age and experience this type of, violence at such a young age. I think it's a statistic that maybe people listening don't think about. We don't think about the younger generation.
That was exactly the reason that I mentioned that story out of Florida from yesterday, was that this was a high school couple. And because she wanted to go on to college, he became extremely violent. Mm. I mean, to stab someone 32 times, there had to be a history of that, of some kind of behavior before it reached this stage. And that story just ought to send shivers through any parent.
Mrs. Beshear, how do you feel about the laws in Kentucky that are currently on the books regarding domestic violence? Do you feel Kentucky is still a leader in this area? Do you feel there's more that we could do?
Yes, I think we're a leader, but yes, I think there's more that we can do. We are only one of four states, three or four, Darlene can correct me on whether it's three or four, that does not have this this dating violence law. And I think it's imperative that we do, because if we can call the problem when our kids are teenagers, we hopefully can have an opportunity to educate these young people so they don't end up in that kind of a relationship again, and perhaps we can find some way to help the perpetrator early before he or she becomes even more violent. So I do think that's a tremendous addition. And the other piece of legislation that Darlene mentioned that will be presented and this next session is being able that a person that needs to move can break their lease if they are fearful of their life. Therefore, they're not penalized. And either way, either remaining in a dangerous situation or financially being penalized. So I think these are two things that add to it. Have we reduced it in Kentucky? I think to a degree, but there's still far too much of it that's happening. The shelters are full. They have waiting lists. They work with people that are not necessarily in the shelter, but are in in need. Somehow, some way, we have got to change the culture. It's just not right.
We've got about a minute before we go to our first very short break here. Darlene, do you know if there's a link to maybe children seeing domestic violence in their own homes, seeing maybe a mother be abused by a father and then growing up to be a perpetrator themselves?
I wouldn't say that it's causal, but sure, absolutely there's a link. There's behaviors that you learn and see. And intimate partner violence, when you grow up watching it, it becomes a tool that you might believe works and is effective because it was effective for a long time in your family situation. Although I do believe there's a great deal of argument about the impact on children who are exposed to battering behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there is effect, but we also know that we have the opportunity when children are young to truly intervene, like the First Lady said, to begin to break those cycles and educate a different way to handle relationships.
We'll have more with First Lady Jane Beshear and Darlene Thomas in a moment on Eastern Standard. This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations, and we're discussing domestic violence, intimate partner violence in Kentucky. I'm Joan East Franklin in for John Hingsbergen. How do we deal with domestic violence in our communities? What about legislation? Are current domestic violence laws doing enough? Do you have a story? Have you been affected by violence in your life? We'd like to hear from you. The phone lines are now open at 800-621-8890. You can still send an email to us, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or tweet us at WEKUEST. Of course, you can post on the WEKU Facebook page. We do invite you to share your own stories there. We did have a woman from the area named Lisa share her story on her Facebook page. It's a little lengthy, so I think that I will be able to read it, but feel free to comment, interact with each other on the WEKU Facebook page. Our guest, our First Lady Jane Beshear, who's with us by phone from Frankfort, and in the studio with me is Darlene Thomas. She's the president of the Kentucky Domestic Violence Association and the executive director of Greenhouse 17. Mrs. Beshear, what do you feel needs to be done to help combat domestic violence and intimate partner violence in Kentucky? What can we do in our community?
Well, one of the things is education, and I think it always begins with the young, is the best place to begin. But as I was sitting here listening to the news and everything, it made me think that so many times people think that domestic violence or violence against another is physical, but I think the important thing to remember is that sometimes it is emotional, I quite honestly, I have someone very close to me that went through that with a spouse. They never physically abused them, but they made them, they isolated them, they made them, they just completely destroyed their self-confidence. there was never a way for this person to get away from that spouse. And even though he never laid a hand on her that I know of, it was domestic violence. And she was able to get out of it with help and out of that situation. And had it not, I think it would have escalated. And it has definitely affected her children as they have become adults.
Darlene, so, I imagine that's a big part of it, is the emotional side to the abuse.
Well, what happens with abusive individuals, they use a whole series and tactics of behavior. And typically, on a day-in and day-out kind of situation, for example, it would be verbal abuse, emotional abuse, often financial abuse, controlling the money, how it's spent, putting people on allowances. And so what, using the children against them, every time a parent tries to discipline the children, the offending parent will undo that so that the power structure becomes a situation where the children become very loyal to the person that's doing the harm. And these kind of patterns and these behaviors are happening frequently within the relationship. Often, just as the First Lady suggested, many don't use necessarily physical violence, mm-hmm. but there's typically a threat. Because of these patterns that go on day in and day out in the relationship, there's always this fear that something could happen. So there's this intimidation, this underlying intimidation. And over a period of time, people begin to doubt themselves. They don't believe that there's choices or options, that this person in their life holds that much power over themselves and their children, because they've worked diligently to slowly and systematically maintain or gain power and control over that relationship.
We're talking about domestic violence, intimate partner violence on Eastern Standard. I'm Joni Franklin, and for John Hingsbergen, Mrs. Bashir, as October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, as the month's coming to an end, what do you want or hope that Kentuckians will take away from this month-long awareness campaign?
Well, I think it's awareness. If there's anything that can change a behavior, it's those around them being aware. One of the projects that the Commission on Women is undertaking is violence in the workplace. And just as I mentioned early on about this situation in Garrett County, when this gentleman kidnapped his wife and threatened to kill her and their children, it ended up in the school system where they had to lock down the schools. So what we're hoping is that given some training that our businesses in Kentucky will start to be more aware of an employee who shows signs of unusual behavior. They're absent a lot, they come in and they're bruised, or they get far too many phone calls that are threatening, that, you know, unusual behavior, that perhaps someone within that business will be able to intervene with that person and provide an opportunity for them to get out of that situation before it escalates. So that's one of the things we're hoping will help across Kentucky, because if you listen to all of the news reports across the nation, many of those violence in the workplace events truly come down to a domestic violence situation, one in the home. So if we can create an awareness about that, if we can make all of us more vigilant about the people that surround us and to be more responsible about trying to encourage discussion of something, or at least directing them someplace where there might be help. You know, to me, we all talk, education is the basic ingredient for success in anything that you do, and certainly people being more educated on domestic violence and realizing that it can happen to anybody. If it can happen to one in three women in Kentucky, it can happen to, there's three of us, three females on the phone right now, it could be one of us.
We're talking about intimate partner abuse, domestic violence on Eastern Standard. I'm Joni Franklin. We'll go to the phones. I believe Susan is on the line. Susan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Susan. Thanks for calling Eastern Standard. What's your comment or question for our guest about the topic?
Well, I have maybe not so atypical when the Amanda case, I guess it was Steve Nunn, killed his intimate partner.
Amanda Ross.
I have a situation that's been ongoing for 20-plus years. My perpetrator's from an old wealth family. There are three obstruction of justice crimes that have been committed in this case. And he has threatened to cut me up and put me in an ice chest. I was in the nursing program at LCC in February of 99. He had my car wrecked, and I had to drop out of the program because he wouldn't quit relentlessly stalking me. And he has my home bugged, has a tracker on my car. Anytime I threaten to go to the police, or the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, or the FBI, he'll send somebody out to threaten to kill me. His brother, they are both physicians. His identical twin brother lied to the state police detective, who was Sam Hawkins of the Kentucky State Police at the time. And it's a very different ball game when you're dealing with the rich and powerful and criminal. And I would like Jane Beshear's help personally in this case, because I'm almost dead. I've got a stent in my heart that's directly related to this, and I'm having chest pains, and I don't know what to do, because I go to the local police, the county DA, and they say go to the local police say go to the county DA, and then I have the state police. I had two state policemen here in my home in around May of 99, and I filed a police report way back in October of 98, so what am I supposed to do? Just let him keep murdering me?
No, certainly not. Darlene can probably be more of, again, give you more direction than I can, but no, you should not continue in a situation where
down.
You fear every day for your life.
What do you say to someone in this situation, Darlene? What can we say to someone living in this type of situation every day?
Well, first of all, we have to validate that intimate partner violence is extremely terrifying for those experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many obstacles and barriers, is what I'm hearing Susan say that she's run up against on multiple occasions. What I typically like to do, because one of our goals is to create a safety plan, is to wrap people in choices and options, talk to them, help them understand what can and can't be done, and how our organization can help. And I'm not quite sure where Susan lives, but there's 15 domestic violence programs across the Commonwealth. One of those programs should be able to sit and help them problem solve and make those connections and provide legal advocacy, support, counseling. And I think that's how people heal. That's how people begin this new journey, is when they know that they do have support around them. And so I would encourage Susan to let one of our organizations be that support.
Susan, thank you for sharing your story. I'm going to see if I can get Richard Turner back on the phone with you as we let you go, and maybe he can give you some phone numbers or some contact information about the Kentucky Domestic Violence Association. Thank you for calling in with your story. We really appreciate you sharing it, and it's probably helped some other people. First Lady Jane Beshear, I know that you have other commitments and that you need to go very soon. Any final thoughts?
Well, I think Susan's story is something that we need to for the public to be aware of. Many times people think that domestic violence happens because of financial problems, or you know, or people that are not in the wealthier class. It does not discriminate. And as she just referred to the fact that the perpetrator is a physician, that's not the person that we necessarily would ever imagine would be one of those. But that's the point, is it can happen to anybody. And I think we just need to all be aware. The thought I had when Darlene was talking with Susan as well, is that people need to understand that you don't have to go to the shelter to get help. our shelters are there to counsel and be able to provide help locate the services that will help an individual. So sometimes I think people think that the shelters are just a shelter. They are a wealth of information on how to deal with this particular situation and particular people that are in crisis.
We've been speaking with First Lady Jane Beshear. Her Shop and Share initiative since 2008 has raised more than $2 million in goods and monetary donations for Kentucky's domestic violence shelters. Mrs. Beshear, thank you so much for taking time today.
Well, let me put in one quick plug now for Shop and Share, because this is an opportunity. You know, my thing is, my motto is personal responsibility, so I would like to encourage all of your listeners. They can help by going to the Kroger or Food Cities on February 2nd. That's Shop and Share Day. It's the day before the Super Bowl, so they can be a part of assisting our shelters across Kentucky with their needed goods and with contributions, and it's a day that everybody in the Commonwealth can participate to make a difference in this one in three individuals.
First Lady Jane Beshear, thank you so much. Thanks again for joining us on Eastern Standard.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Still with us in the studio is Darlene Thomas, president of Kentucky Domestic Violence Association and executive director of Greenhouse 17. We are talking about domestic violence, about intimate partner violence in Kentucky. How do we deal with these issues in our own communities? What about legislation? We're going to get into that with Representative John Tilley in a little bit later on in the show. Do you have a story? Has violence affected your life? The phone lines are open at 800-621-8890. You can send an email to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com or send us a tweet at WEKUEST. We also invite you to post on the WEKU Facebook page, maybe share your stories there. Darlene, what is, as we have this conversation about domestic violence, intimate partner violence, we're throwing out some terms, some organizations today. You're the president of the Kentucky Domestic Violence Association. I can say that. What is KDVA?
It is a mouthful.
Apparently.
First and foremost. The Kentucky Domestic Violence Association is a coalition of the 15 domestic violence programs that receive state dollars that are located across the Commonwealth. In this state, nearly 30 years ago, it was decided that there needed to be domestic violence programs spread equally across the state so that no individual was really more than an hour away from emergency shelter. But it also allowed us to be able to have coverage of services in our court systems for every county in the state, because we're regionally located. That's very important for rural women to have access. A lot of times when you hit the different states, you know, most of the shelters are in the very large urban areas, and Kentucky's done a phenomenal job to make sure that services are accessible. So this coalition provides the technical support to all the programs across the state. It's active in legislation. It's active in trying to secure funding and resources. I think our coalition has been a national leader. I just got back from Washington, D.C., and everywhere I went, the National Network to End Domestic Violence was in awe of some of the accomplishments with self-sufficiency work that this coalition does, work with women in prison. It's a pretty phenomenal group of ladies that get together and try to make changes for the best in this community.
You're also the executive director of Greenhouse 17, which is one of the programs that falls under KDVA. Tell us about Greenhouse 17. You recently did a name change. Why the change?
Well, we are Greenhouse 17, formerly Bluegrass Domestic Violence Program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really wanted, we're a young program. We're 8 years old, a little over 8 years old. And we have this amazing group of individuals that we believed we needed to show the positive, not just focus on the violence by having a Bluegrass Domestic Violence Program, but to also focus on the beauty and the potential of those that are surviving and making choices to start their lives new and as safe as possible. And for us, we sit on a 40-acre farm, And we try to approach this work very holistically. And in that sense, we've started some of our own gardens. So we eat a lot of our own food, and we teach families how to be a part of that, to kind of get dirty and, you know, figure out that all things are living and growing, including themselves. And so a greenhouse definition is to grow and nurture things in a protected environment. And we believe we're trying to help grow and nurture people in a protected environment. And the 17 is for our 17 counties. But it's positive. You know, when you have to go to the hospital, or you are going for a job and you have to write down you're living in a bluegrass domestic violence program, you know, sometimes you didn't get those phone calls back. We want the community to know that what happens through our program is positive, and you want to be a part of that as a community, and you want our families, you want to embrace those families, because they really are beginning again.
Speaking with Darlene Thomas, she's the president of the Kentucky Domestic Violence Association and executive director of Greenhouse 17. We're talking about intimate partner abuse today. How do we deal with domestic violence in our communities? What about the legislation? Are current laws in Kentucky doing enough? Do you have a story? We invite you to share your story on the WEKU Facebook page. You can also tweet us at WEKUEST. The phone lines are open. We do have people waiting on the line. We'll try to get to each of you at 800-621-8890. Again, you can send an email, WEKUEasternstandard@gmail.com. We're going to come back with more. Darlene Thomas, again, from Greenhouse 17, and we'll come back with Representative John Tilley. He represents House District 8, and he's the co-chair of the House Judiciary Committee. He also is a sponsor of the Dating Violence Bill. We're going to talk about that in just a moment when Eastern Standard continues. This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. I'm Jonice Franklin, filling in for John Hingsberg, and we're discussing domestic violence in the Commonwealth. The phone lines are open at 800-621-8890. That's 800-621-8890. You can send us an email, WEKUEasternstandard@gmail.com, or post to the WEKU Facebook page. Still with us in the studio is Darlene Thomas. She's the president of Kentucky Domestic Violence Association and executive director of Greenhouse 17. Now joining us is State Representative John Tilley. Mr. Tilley is a Democrat representing House District 8 and co-chair of the House Judiciary Committee. Welcome, Representative Tilley.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. Tell us about your interest in the issue of domestic violence.
You know, well, as I've said at previous press conferences and speaking publicly on the matter, I mean, it hits close to home. I have three daughters, one of whom is 15. Ages 16 to 19 are the most vulnerable population. They're four times more likely to be victimized in some cases, and certainly overall for domestic violence, the most vulnerable population. I have a mother whose father passed away, who lives alone and still works at 73, very active and very, very vibrant woman, but we know that those women are very vulnerable now. And it seems arbitrary that we at once were a national leader. In 1984, when we passed our Domestic Violence and Abuse Act, we were clearly a national leader in this area. Most states jumped on our bandwagon and saw the need to provide this system of protective orders in a civil way. And since then, we have fallen badly behind. We are now one of only two or three states that doesn't offer protection for couples in a dating relationship. So you have to be living together, married, or have a child in common to access this system, and that's arbitrary and outdated. We need to fix it.
You sponsored legislation intended to strengthen the state's laws concerning domestic violence and the dating violence bill. Tell us about that bill and what happened to it.
Well, I think now this is the, Darlene might correct me, but you know, I, again, sponsor several bills, and my committee, we handle about 20% of all legislation that flows through every year. So I think this is the third year that I've been the primary sponsor of the bill. Representative Joni Jenkins has been a tremendous advocate for women and domestic violence issues for some time, and she is my co-sponsor, and there'll be a number of co-sponsors. But we have passed the bill from the House Judiciary Committee and the House floor a couple of times, three times, maybe even four. And we have also passed it from the Senate Judiciary Committee the first time last year. And we have the support of the Senate Judiciary Chair, Senator Whitney Westerfield, and I think a number of senators. And I think we can move it from the. I have great confidence this year that we can move it off the Senate floor.
Why do you feel it's been so difficult to get the bill passed in the past?
I think there are some concerns with how this system can be abused, and we know that any law, that any system like this can be abused. In some cases, I've practiced law for a number of years, and I've seen the way it can be abused, possibly in a custody case. But this in and of itself is not about that at all. In fact, this would, frankly, take that out of that realm. I mean, we're talking about just extending it to those in a dating relationship and protecting the most vulnerable population. And, in fact, the abuse that a number of folks, I think, are worried about is already occurring, if that occurs. And I think judges have become very wary of that and identified and usually correct that if it is being abused to gain an advantage in a custody case or gain an advantage in a divorce setting of some kind. So I think there's been some concern there, and I think we have gained support year after year because it is the bill in and of itself would extend that protection, but it also has a tremendous and substantial cost savings. I mean, we know that there's a UK study by TK Logan that says for every dollar we spend, we have a $31 savings. And if you multiply that across the number of cases in Kentucky, that's about an $86 million per year savings to Kentucky taxpayers. And so there's a right thing to do element here and a substantial cost savings as well.
So you feel good about the bill's chances of passage this time around?
I do. I think we have the advocates and a number of folks that support the bill have done a tremendous job lobbying for it and sort of peeling away some of the misconception and some of the misinformation that's out there about the bill. And I think people are beginning to see it for what it is, and that's really something to protect victims of domestic violence that don't have that protection now.
We're speaking with State Representative John Tilley. Mr. Tilley represents Kentucky House District 8, and he's the co-chair of the House Judiciary Committee, also a sponsor of the Dating Violence Bill in Kentucky. Also, Darlene Thomas in the studio with us, president of the Kentucky Domestic Violence Association and executive director of Greenhouse 17. We're going to go to the phones right now and speak with Susan Harmon, still on the line. Susan, she's the author of To Hide the Truth. Are you there, Susan?
Hello.
Hi, Susan. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi, thanks for calling into Eastern Standard. You're the author of a book called To Hide the Truth. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
And you grew up in Appalachia?
Yes, I did. I grew up in the Appalachian Mountains. My childhood was basically the 50s and 60s. And the book that I wrote was about domestic violence through a child's eyes. I didn't realize that I was living in a house of terror. I thought that was normal. And there was no help available like it is now. And even with the community, the church, the neighbors, the mindset was, if you don't talk about it, it didn't happen. And until after I wrote the book, then I found out that some of my classmates were going through the same thing. We just never talked about it. So this podcast and all the information that is available now is absolutely phenomenal.
Speaking with Susan Harmon over the phone, she's the author of, what's the name of your book again, Susan? I'm sorry.
To Hide the Truth.
To Hide the Truth. Thank you for calling in to Eastern Standard. We invite you to call in as well, 800-621-8890. You can also email your stories about domestic violence and intimate partner abuse, weku easternstandard@gmail.com. We do have a comment from Jerry who called in. He says, domestic violence seems to focus on the men, but he says his wife was violent and took it out on the kids. Darlene, is that something you see, not nearly, I'm sure, as often as you see violence from men to women, but you do see it, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. You know, our program ensures that we provide equitable services to men, women, and children who've been victims of intimate partner violence. So men can be victims. Sometimes that victimization looks a little different. I think men often have expressed to me that they have experienced isolation in the sense that to tell doesn't really match what it means to be a man. Like, it's often minimized that there's no way possible that males can be victims. And I think we need to, as advocates, make sure that all people in intimate violence relationships know, male or female, that there is help available.
Representative John Tilley from House District 8, do you have anything to add to that? You were a prosecutor for some time. Did you see many instances of, you know, violence from women towards men?
You know, I didn't. I knew of it as at one time I was a county attorney prosecuting, and of course we handle dependency, neglect, and abuse cases, and those usually run through that system when you have a parent who would be abusive toward a child, and that could be certainly that. Oftentimes we did see mothers who were abusive physically toward their children. So, yeah, we do see that. And this system in and of itself, an order could be, you know, it could be accessed in this way, but it's typically goes through that part of our system. So I did not see it as much just in terms of a protective order per se. But it certainly happens. Darlene's right. And it's not limited. The law itself is gender neutral. I mean, it's not limited. We just happen to have you know, statistics that bear out that women are more often than not the victims. We have 650,000 female victims, which is much higher than the national average in Kentucky every year. So we know it's happening at a much greater rate, but it certainly is not limited to females.
We're speaking with Representative John Tilley, State Rep John Tilley from House District 8, and Darlene Thomas from Greenhouse 17 and the Kentucky Domestic Violence Association. We had Andrew on the line from Lexington. We lost him. I'm sorry, Andrew. We kept him waiting for quite a while. His question was concerning protection laws. In a couple of comments I've seen from people wanting to know, why is there any resistance or opposition to protection laws? Do you have any answer for that, Representative Tilley?
I think it goes back to what I had said before. I think there is some concern that the system as it exists today, that there is some abuse in gaining, you know, either a man or woman might seek to get a protective order to gain an advantage in a custody case where a divorce is proceeding, or simply maybe the couple's not married and there's a fight over a child. There might be some, again, some advantage to be gained there. But, again, I think judges are now so comfortable with the system and can again identify that kind of gaming of the system, and I don't think it's as prevalent as it once was. And that's someone who's, and I've been in the trenches before, and I understand that it does happen and can. But again, that's no reason to discard an entire system that protects so many. And so I think you have to sort of employ a cost benefit analysis to it and see that it has far greater benefit than any. Negative cost. And so I do think that perception's out there, and I do think that we're gaining momentum with the issue, and I do expect to move it this year.
As we are set to wrap up Domestic Violence Awareness Month as October comes to an end, Mr. Tilley, what do you want people in the Commonwealth to know out in the community about this issue? What do you hope people will learn maybe from this month?
Well, I think we need to, first of all, understand that Kentucky is behind, that we suffer more domestic violence than the average state, and that we once were a national leader and no longer are because of this particular issue in and of itself and others as well. But this is the biggest piece we could add to our legislative puzzle here, I think, and make us more whole. Is to offer this protection to those in a dating relationship, not just to those who are married, living together, or have a child in common. I think, you know, again, that restricts it to the most vulnerable population. Again, the system itself should be there to protect, you know, those females 16 and 19, or for that matter, again, the males, anybody 16 and 19. But we know that that females in that age range are the most vulnerable. So I think it's essential that we extend that protection to them. It not only has a public safety element to it, certainly as the most important matter, but it has a substantial cost savings, as I mentioned earlier in that University of Kentucky study. Carol Jordan would remind me of that every day, and her colleague T.K. Logan. They've done the numerous studies, but they would tell you that there's an $86 million per year savings, and that is substantial. And I add one more thing to it. If you can keep these respondents, these early abusers, out of the criminal justice system, that's part of the savings, but it's also not a bad thing when you keep somebody from entering that criminal justice system, because they're far more likely to stay in it once they're in it. But if you nip it in the bud, as Barney Fife used to say, there's a victory there in and of itself. So you've protected the victim, and you've hopefully set a straighter course for that abuser down the road.
We've been speaking with State Representative John Tilley. Mr. Tilley is a Democrat representing House District 8, co-chair of the House Judiciary Committee, and sponsor of the Dating Violence Bill. Sir, thank you for joining us today. We're going to let you go.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. I'm Jonice Franklin, still in the studio with Darlene Thomas from Kentucky Domestic Violence Association and Executive Director of Greenhouse 17. We've been talking this hour about domestic violence, about intimate partner abuse. For people out in the community listening who want to help, what are the warning signs? What are we looking for? If we're in the grocery store and we see a young couple and it doesn't look right to us and we want to do something to help, what are we looking for? What is your advice on an instance like that?
Well, I think we all have a really nice gut instinct about us.
Sure.
When we see or perceive that something may not be quite right, whether it's our neighbors or people across the street or family that our children go to school with, or when we're in the store. You know, as a matter of fact, it wasn't too long ago I was in a store and I noticed that the gentleman was berating his partner. And every time I kept going up and down the aisle, I would hear him. And she never looked up. She never made eye contact. She was embarrassed, humiliated. She was probably in a rush to get out of the store. And so I do believe we have a responsibility as a community to take some action. And because maybe I do this work every day and have for many, many years, and being attuned to that discomfort, I kind of followed him outside. And he was throwing bags in the car and cussing her and yelling at her, and she was hidden in the seat of the car, just totally ducked down. And I called law enforcement.
This isn't something that happens behind closed doors all the time. Sometimes this happens out in broad daylight.
Absolutely. But, you know, there's times where you hear things across the street or neighbors or people share stories. And I do think we have some accountability to always think about victim safety. So in that particular case, I called law enforcement with the car, the make, the model, just to check on them, possibly, to see if they were okay or if that victim was okay. And I don't know what happened in that case, but I know I did something. And I don't think we have to be experts. We need to help connect people to those experts, send them back to your local domestic violence program, know what they are, get involved. There's ways to volunteer. I think victims need to know and survivors need to know that our community cares, that they don't want to tolerate it. And our legislature is trying to lead that way. And definitely First Lady has been a tremendous advocate in bringing beautiful voice to why this is so important. But when we get together as a community and decide that it's not acceptable and that we are going to take action, we're going to be proactive, what we tell survivors is that they matter. They don't have to hide away. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be afraid anymore, that we are here to help. And what we tell those that inflict that harm is that you will be held accountable. And that's an important message if we ever want to create social change.
What would you tell someone who's listening right now, who didn't call in, too scared to call in, but is in an intimate partner abusive situation, a domestic violence situation? What would you tell them if they're listening right now?
I would tell them first that they are a person of great courage because they're surviving. And there's no right or wrong way to survive sometimes, that you're doing the best you can. I would also want them to know that they're not alone, that there is help. It's confidential. You don't even have to tell us your name. Just call us. We will just help walk through choices and options. There's no right or wrong time to make those decisions. You know your situation better than anybody. But they are worthy, and we will believe you, and there is help there. And, you know, when you're ready, come tell your story, and we'll be there.
As October wraps up, Domestic Violence Awareness Month will wrap up, but the work continues certainly for you. What's next for Greenhouse 17 and KDVA?
Well, we're geared up for the legislature this this winter, starting January. And I would add to a little bit of what Representative Tilley was able to say. I think it's been a process of education. And I do believe, you know, last year there was tremendous movement. We've had movement in the House for the last 3 years, or the 2 years prior to last year. But last year felt different, and I think we finally have made the case. We've shown why it is extremely important for all individuals and intimate partner relationships to have access to safety and through the protective order system. So we're geared up for that. For our organization personally, we have LunaFest that's getting ready to take place on November 7th at the Kentucky Theater, which is a great event, a community event that we encourage people to come out. So new wonderful things on the horizon. And once we get past dating violence, we'll set a new agenda.
Thanks to our guest, Darlene Thomas, thank you, President of Kentucky Domestic Violence Association and Executive Director of Greenhouse 17. Thank you for taking time to come here today.
Thank you.
John Tilley, representing Kentucky House District 8 and co-chair of the House Judiciary Committee. Thanks also to First Lady Jane Beshear, who was with us earlier. Sorry if we didn't get to you if you're on the phone waiting to leave a comment or have a question for our guest. We hope you'll continue the conversation on the WEKU Facebook page. Eastern Standard is a production of the WEKU stations at Eastern Kentucky University. Our associate producers are Andrew Moorhead and Richard Turner. Roger Duvall's at the controls. I'm Joan East Franklin. Thanks for listening.